fill this pulpit and say hi to everybody. Not only the five steps of worship that we're all aware of, but also the fellowship. It means a good deal to both Peg and I. A little quick story. Wednesday afternoon, I opened up my email. Some of you are aware that I work with a missionary. His name is Vallon. And he's asking about the congregation in Pahrump. He and I have talked about Pahrump and coming out here and doing things. And lo and behold, Wednesday night, Eddie calls me and wants to know if I'd come out. So I don't know if that's God working strange ways or whether it's karma or just what it is. But anyway, it's good to be out here. He sends his regards to you and wants you to know that you guys read his prayers also. This morning we're going to talk about a list of things that has been put together. It's thoughts that we have. I've titled this sermon A Potpourri of Thoughts We Have. I told Peg I was going to call it potpourri. But it's things that cross our mind, and I've got 15 different things listed, so we're just going to spend a minute or two with each one. I have a copy of this outline and lesson that I will give to Lily. So if you guys want a copy of it, she can make copies and give it to you, because we're going to move along pretty fast. But as we think about things in our life, things that we do, we tend to think negative. God tends to think positive. There's nothing negative in the Bible that I'm aware of. If somebody finds something, point it out to me that God has to say to his people. So for all the negative things we have to say to ourselves, not necessarily to other people, but to ourselves, God has a positive answer. So we're going to look at some of these things, that just random thoughts that come into our mind once in a while. As we look at these verses, most of them are geared towards salvation, but I also want you to look at it and think about in everyday life, because these things come up sometimes with families, sometimes with jobs, as well as our own Christian lives, and as well as salvation. So as we look at this, I want to look at it in both directions. We're going to start in Luke 18 and 27. Luke 18 and 27. Prior to verse 27, this passage talks about a young ruler that basically thought he was doing everything good until Jesus got down to the point where he needed to give up everything and follow me. And that's when the young ruler said, that's impossible. So we say it's impossible. Task in front of us, keeping up with God's word, doing what we're supposed to do, living a righteous life. It's all impossible. Well, in verse 27, Luke says, Jesus said, but he said, the things which are impossible with men, things we don't think we can do, are possible with God. So, to further the title of this sermon, we could also think about it as trust and faith. How well do we trust God? How much faith do we put in God? How much can we get around some of these negative thoughts that come into our head if we have the proper trust and proper faith in what God wants us to do? So we say it's impossible. God says all things are possible through me. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. We say, I'm too tired. Yeah, happens, doesn't it? I've had it happen. Go to worship, I'm just too tired. Or Eddie calls me Wednesday night to come up and serve. I can't do that, Eddie. I'm just worn out. I'm tired. How many times do we think that when it comes to doing God's work? Or boss comes to you in your workplace and said, here's a little more I need you to get this done today. Boss, I can't do that. I'm just too tired. How's that going to work out for you? Okay? So we look at we look at Matthew 11, 28 through 30, see what God has to say about this. You know, life gets us bogged down. God's work gets us bogged down. What's God have to say about it? 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's you and me. And what's he going to do? I'll give you rest. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take this word, learn from me. Why? For I am gentle and lowly in heart. I'm easy to get along with. All you got to do is follow what I ask you to do. How difficult is that? You will find rest for your soul, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, this is scripturally speaking, but apply it in our own daily lives. Take God's yoke upon you. That's easy. And if we trust and have faith in God, how much easier is it to get through our daily strives, toils, whatever you want to call them? And we just lay everything, put all our trust over here in God. Not too tired. I'll give you rest. We say, nobody really loves me. Well, what's God have to say about that? Let's go to a verse we all know, we're all familiar with, we love it, and it's John 3:16. And it says, God so loved the world, that's you and me, everybody else, he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, and he clarifies things, he's given his son for whoever believes in him, and they won't perish, but have everlasting life. So his son wasn't given for those that don't believe in him. Yes, he is. But in order to have everlasting life, you got to believe in him, and you got to do what God asks you to do. It's not just a matter of believing in Jesus, as the world seems to think. There's a little more to it. Okay? But nobody really loves me. Well, God loved you so much he gave his son for you. And then we go to John 13, 34. John 13, verse 34. John goes ahead and says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Okay? As I have loved you, but you also love one another. He loved us enough to give up his son. Can't we just get along and love each other that much? Alright? Now, again, not just in the congregation. We have God's love. We also have each other's love. Alright? We can get along that way. But what about friends and family? Can they not leave us feeling alone? I speak to a lot of people in my own family. We got strife. I don't know if it's just a thing, whether it can be something that is unique to some families and okay with other families, but sometimes that family can leave you feeling alone. What about the friend, in today's terminology, what about the friend that ghosted you? All of a sudden, just you don't hear anything from them. What's up with that? You feel like you're on an island all by yourself. You feel like, man, there's just nobody there. Nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. Put your faith, put your trust in me. We say, I can't go on. This ain't worth it. I ain't doing this no more. I just can't go on. No matter what I try, I just can't go on. And we have that, again, with family, with work, and with you know, outside life other than just congregation, other than just church, other than just worship. I just can't go on. So what did Paul have to say in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10? Paul tells the church in Corinth, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, He's happy about that. In reproaches, in need, in persecutions, in distress. He says he takes pleasure in all that. Well, that's tough for me to do. It's just not an easy thing. All right? He clarifies, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. His belief in Jesus, that trust in Jesus, when he has that, when he's weak, he's strong. We know the kind of life that Paul had. We know a lot about Paul, what struggles he went through. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was stoned and left out of town for dead. He was persecuted every time he turned around the corner. Things were not good in Paul's life except for his Christianity. That kept him good. Okay? We know on one end of the spectrum that he persecuted Christians. We know that in the middle that he was on the road to Damascus and 3 days later turned his life around, and on this end of the spectrum he's teaching Christianity. So he's gone from persecutor to saved to teaching. And everything in between of what Paul's life was all about. But when he was teaching Christianity, the persecution that he went through was horrible. People made fun of him. We talked in class. People made fun of him. His reputation preceded him in a lot of places. They said, well, you're nothing but a Christian killer. What are you doing teaching? That's what Paul went through. You think sometimes he didn't have a thought in his head, I just can't do this anymore. I can't go on. According to Scripture, he never had that thought. No matter what he was put into, no matter what he was going through, he never got in a situation where I said, I can't go on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We say, I can't figure things out. Too difficult for me, I'm done with this. I just can't figure it out. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tell me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We talked in class this morning about that's all you need to know. If you got that, that's all you need to know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There's things in God's word we don't understand. There's things in life we don't understand. Maybe we need to quit trying to figure all that out and just lean on God. And in verse 6, he said, in all your ways, not just some of them, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then what will God do for you? He shall direct your path. Can't figure things out? God said, I'll help you. If you direct your thoughts and things toward me, don't lean on your own understanding, lean on mine. You'll figure it out. You know, I'll figure it out. I'll help you. I just can't figure things out. I'll direct your steps, God says. It comes back to trusting God and faith in God, doesn't it? We've got to quit trying to do it all on our own. We sometimes get by with that because it does work. But don't you think God had a play in it that things worked out because he was there with you? That's where the trust comes in. That's where the faith comes in. Philippians 4. Verses 12 and 13. We get in our head, I can't do it. Just can't do it. What was it? The Aces basketball coach the other night said, when I ever were in camp, I figured you died. I can't do it. Paul knew in this letter that he was writing to the church at Philippi, he knew the ups and downs of life, didn't he? He knew when it was okay to have a lot of stuff. He knew when it was okay to have nothing. Because he always had God. He knew he could conquer anything with God. So in Philippians 4, verses 12 12 and 13, he writes to the church in Philippi. Verse 13, again, this is all you need to know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got that kind of trust? You don't need anything else. And verse 14, though, or verse 12, let's back up. Paul talks about his individual life. He said, I know how to be abased. I also know how to abound. I know how not to have anything. I know how to have everything. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and hungry. He knows both directions. Both to abound and to suffer need. And with all that being said, he tells them, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we feel that way? What about when we're sitting on top of the world and all of a sudden things go south on us? Can you pick yourselves up and say, that's okay. I'll get through this. I can do anything with God. Or we'll go over in a corner and pout about everything and try to figure it out and do it on our own and make a bigger mess of it than it was. We're going to do it one way or the other. Paul said, I can't. Paul didn't ever say, I can't do it. This is what he said. He always had positive things to say. But it's most positive right here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He knows that he'll get stronger with God. 2 Corinthians 9. This is a passage that we use a lot of times when we talk about giving on the Lord's table. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. We say to ourselves, I'm just not able. I'm just not able to do this. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8, Paul tells the church in Corinth, but I say, that's Paul, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Now we talk about this on the Lord's table when we're talking about giving. But let's think about it in our own Christian lives. What does it mean when Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly? We're talking about our own lives, in our own Christian lives, teaching, giving of ourselves. What about the person that has no money to give, but has time, but doesn't give any of it? Is that not just as bad as having a lot of money and not sharing in God's work? He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Doesn't matter whether it's time or money. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. How do we feel about giving of our time to God's work? How do we feel about giving of our funds to God's work? Showing appreciation for what he does for us every minute of every day. Where are we with that? Let each one give as he purposes. I'll give all the time that I can do. I'll give all the money that I can do. Do we purpose that way in our heart? He goes on to say, if you're doing that, don't do it grudgingly and don't do it of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Do it because you want to. Not because you have to. Not because somebody said you have to. I didn't have to be here this morning. But it's part of what I do. I like to do God's work. A little drive out of here once in a while breaks things up for us. I enjoy it. And then verse 8, he said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So if you're giving of your time good, you're giving of your funds good, God's going to take care of you. So we come along and say, I'm not able. What's God say? I am able. Stick with me. I had a boss one time tell me, stick with me, you'll wear diamonds someday. God says, stick with me, you'll have heaven someday. Don't tell me you're not able. I'm able. God will provide what we need. He opens the door. We have to be able to go through it. You know, it's an old saying that, you know, if you're praying for a job, you don't have any work, and you're sitting on your couch watching TV and not putting out any applications, how's that going to work out for you? You got to make some effort. God will open the door, but you got to make some effort and walk through it. You can't go out in the yard with a shovel and pray for a hole if you're not willing to dig the hole. Okay? He provided the shovel for you, provided the energy for you to dig the hole. So, how do we expect things to happen if we don't do something? We say, just not worth it. That ever cross our mind? Why should I do that? Just not worth it. Romans 8, 28. Here's what God says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. It will be worth it. We've got to keep doing what we do. We've got to go to Bible studies. We've got to go to worship service. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to talk to God. We need to do all of these things. And he's saying here, all things work together for the good to those who love God. It has a stipulation in there again, doesn't it? It's not worth it. God says it's worth it. Just stick with me. Can't forgive myself. Boy, we've been there sometimes, huh? I just can't forgive myself. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a statement. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? You can't walk in the flesh and the Spirit. You can't have both good and evil. You can't serve both man and Satan and God. It doesn't work that way. But I can't forgive myself. Romans 8 and 1 said there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God says, I'll forgive you if you ask and repent of your ways. Now I ask this question to you. If God can forgive you, then should you not be able to forgive yourself? That's a pretty simple question. I see heads going this way, but sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Such a bad person. How's God going to let me in heaven? I've done this and this and this and this. That's a guilt trip you're putting on yourself. That's a forgiveness that you can't give yourself. But God says if you'll repent of those sins, I'll forgive you. We say, I can't manage. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He's closing out this letter. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I can't manage. God will supply all of your needs. Back to what I started with, trust and faith. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 1, verse 7. I'm always afraid. Sometimes we don't know what's coming next. Most times we don't. You hear people say, well, it came out of me out of left field. I'm afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, what's Paul telling Timothy? He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's not the spirit that God gave us, but of power and of love and of sound mind. But that spirit of not having any fear, you have to believe in God and you have to have obedience. You have to have the love for God. You have to have that trust and that faith. Now here's a big one. Okay, we're winding down. I've got a lot of time. 1 Peter 5:7. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Peter writes, we say I'm always worried and frustrated. Boy, is that common or not? I'm just worried about this. I'm so frustrated over life. Peter says in 5, verse 7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's a command. Cast all of your care on him. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why do we have all this worry and all this frustration? Peter said, give it to God. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. And in verse 7, he said, if you do that, if you pray and have supplication with thanksgiving and make your request known, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, we have no idea how God thinks. If we think we do, he'll laugh at us. Because we have no idea. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why do we have all this worry and all this strife, all this stress in our lives? Give it to God. If we have trust and we have faith, we can give all that stuff to God and move on with our own life. Stress is a tough thing to deal with. It'll kill you, literally. Caused me a heart attack 20 years ago. A lot of people, health problems. You've got to get rid of it. And there's no better person to give it to than God, because he can handle it. Who else are you going to give it to? Are you going to give it to one of your friends? He don't care about your... He might care about your troubles, but he don't want them. Or your family. Don't give that stuff to me. You never hear God say no to you. Romans 12, 4 through 8. Romans 12, 4 through 8. I just don't have enough faith to get through all this. You've been talking about faith and trust all morning, and I just don't have that kind of faith. Okay. What's God say? 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, I mean, everybody got a different purpose, right? What is it, 3, 6, 9, 12, 16, 17 of us here this morning. Everybody's got different duties. Everybody's got different talents. But God's saying here, for as many we have members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Okay? It says so right here. Somebody tells me I can lead singing, I'm telling him Eddie can do it. All right? Somebody tells him he can preach, he said Richard can do it. So we, being many, are one body. Even though we all do different things, we're one body. And individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. I don't have enough faith, God said. I've given everyone a measure of faith. Remember the story about the little mustard seed? If you just have that much faith, you can conquer the world. Well, he's given each of us a measure of faith. Now, I don't know how big God's measure is, but I got to think it's at least as big as the mustard seed. If you want it bigger, you can do something about it. You can do like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, study. Show yourself approved. Be able to rightly divide that word of God. Two more. We're going to make it. First Corinthians 1, verse 30. Now, I hear this from guys and women, you know, when it comes to teaching, or it comes to preaching, or it comes to doing outreach work. You put it wherever you want to. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. We say, I'm not smart enough. How many times have we told ourselves that? I'm not getting into a Bible study with anybody. I'm not smart enough to do that. And we shun away from it. Most of us, because of fear, we're going to get asked a question we don't know the answer to. Well, I have an answer to every question. I don't know, but I'll look it up and find it. Nothing wrong with doing that. Better to be right than to tell somebody wrong. Okay? I'm not smart enough. What's God say? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. I'm not smart enough. God says, I give you wisdom. What more do you want? What Solomon do? He preached for wisdom and got wisdom. Basic definition of wisdom is being able to put your knowledge to work. I'll give you wisdom. Don't tell me you're not smart enough. And lastly, we're going to end up in Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer says this. When we say, I feel all alone. We talked about this just a little bit earlier. I'm all alone. Hebrew writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I feel all alone. Oh. God said with me, you're never alone. And I will never forsake you, and I will never leave you. Like some of your friends have, like some of your family has, like Joe over here did. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? What's the worst thing man can do to you? Kill you? Well, if you're in Christ, you have the love for Christ. Go ahead. I'm going to heaven then. Much better place than here. There's a lot of other questions probably that you can come up with. But that covers a multitude of them. There's things that we just think negative. God thinks positive. We issue the invitation this morning. There are those with us this morning that have not put on their Savior, put on Jesus through baptism, we would issue that opportunity to you this morning so that you might be saved, so that you might strive for that home in heaven. We also have an opportunity that if you need prayers of this congregation, you need some help in your life, you need to get help with some of these questions that we've gone over this morning or whatever it might be, We also have that opportunity. If you have a need, make it known, because Eddie leads us into closing.
Oh!